All right, without question, the not only the best Pac-12 writer in the country, but I think one of the best college football writers in the country. His stuff is just a must-read with the San Jose Mercury News, and he joins us every once in a while to talk Pac-12, and we appreciate him coming on with us today. John Wilner from the San Jose Mercury News. John, Luke, and I'm Gambo. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm great. Reading your column, boy, I'll tell you, something that just shook me when I was reading this column. How are the Sun Devils healthy enough to field a full team in the opener at USC and then a few days later suffer an outbreak so severe that it knocked them out for three games and counting? Was that, when that was happening, you were onto it a little bit, but were a lot of people talking about how ASU was missing that many games after just playing?
It raised some eyebrows around the conference. You know, just based on daily testing, or mostly daily testing, you know, the schools were doing it four or five times a week. Some were doing it seven, eight times a week. Based on the amount of time the kids were getting tested and the fact that you had a 10-day isolation period and 14-day quarantine, everybody else, when they had outbreaks, they were limited to two-week outbreaks. And then they had it under control, and they had enough players to be able to play after missing two games. But for some reason, ASU had to miss three games. And it never made sense to me back then, as I wrote, that if you were following the protocols very strictly with the quarantines for 2 weeks, that you'd be out for longer than that. But they were, and I didn't understand it then. And, you know, I still don't know exactly what happened, but it was very, very odd.
Yeah. They were. What's being alleged is that Arizona State violated NCAA rules by hosting recruits during the COVID period. The COVID protocols were adopted by the NCAA, and the conference itself had it as well. You point out that if they were cheating during this period, you called it deplorable cheating, I guess cheating at a level that you wouldn't expect anybody else to cheat at that level, correct?
You know, I don't have any idea if other schools were cheating or not, but I do know that that's cheating that involves violations of public health orders. That is cheating, and, you know, we don't know exactly if it happened, if the NCAA is going to determine that it was ASU violated rules, but if what has been alleged is true, that was a public safety, public health issue. That goes way beyond, you know, the normal college football cheating that you do to get recruits, in my opinion. And it was just, it would just be wrong. And I think we're seeing that, the level of outrage that could come if it's proven to be true by the fact that several college public officials have commented on the record about ASU's situation. You never, ever, ever see a coach or an athletic director from another school commenting on the record about a school's potential NCAA violations. And yet we've seen it three times with the ASU situation in the last 24 hours. The Notre Dame athletic director, the Oregon State athletic director, and the Stanford football coach have all made public comments. And that tells you what the level of outrage would be if it's proven that this stuff is true and the ASU was just flaunting, public health orders during a once in a century pandemic.
Talking to John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. John, if this all ends up being true, or parts of this end up being true, I mean, what does this do for the concept of the new leadership model in college football?
Well, I mean, I think the new leadership model already right now is under a little bit of scrutiny just based on what we know to this point. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to get is going to be proven true or could be determined to have been an NCAA violation, but it sure seems like there's enough. There's a dossier with screenshots and receipts and emails. I mean, unless all that stuff has been made up, more than likely there's something there. And so I just think that the way the whole thing has happened and the culture, the cultural problems that ASU is having within the football program and on the staff, which were known within the college football ranks, just not known publicly, I think the new leadership model is under a little bit of question.
One of the things that, you see that they're recruiting well with Antonio Pierce and they're getting out there and they're bringing all these talent from all these areas and, you know, really running up the recruiting rankings. In your column, it's pointed out that whenever a program suddenly has next level success from the areas outside a traditional recruiting base, it's suspicious. Were there other Pac-12 programs that were suspicious of this? Was it people in the media? That suspicion that arose, was it something that was very noticeable to people that weren't here at ASU?
If you are following Pac-12 recruiting closely, you have been suspicious of what's going on at ASU for several years. I mean, those suspicions were openly discussed, in very private conversations involving Pac-12 recruiting. I mean, nobody that I spoke to, could say for sure that there was a violation being committed, but everybody was extraordinarily suspicious. And I'd add that if ASU's recruiting success had happened at a similar situation in another school, let's say Colorado, all of a sudden was getting four-star players from the Midwest and from Florida and places that they never got four-star players from before, people would be suspicious of Colorado. When you box above your weight level on the recruiting trail, all of a sudden, it's always, always suspicious.
John, how much of the road ahead here? I mean, it's impossible to predict what the NCAA is going to do or when they do it. But how difficult does this now get for ASU because of that perceived rift within the program, where it certainly seems like somebody within the program, or maybe more than one person, is willing to turn on them?
Yeah, well, it does certainly see. That's also struck me, is that it appears people are very willing to talk to the NCAA, which is not a good sign for ASU. Look, ASU's got a very good roster for this fall. I picked them to win the South, right? And if the NCAA doesn't rule or there's no internal investigation to, prompts changes in the coaching staff, they got a heck of a chance to have a good fall. There's no doubt about that. I don't know how long this will take. NCAA does not have subpoena power. And as certainly as we've seen with the situation in Tucson, these investigations can take years, and they've got a lot on their plate. The one thing, though, that is different about this case than, say, the basketball, the FBI scandal stuff, is they've got a dossier and they've got names of recruits, and those recruits want to play college football. Whether those recruits are at ASU or at other schools, they want to play college football. And the NCAA can tell those recruits, you talk or you're ineligible. And so they have got a fair amount of leverage in a case like this relative to, say, what's going on with that FBI scandal, yeah, where they really don't have any leverage. In that regard, this could move quicker than maybe people think. I mean, I still don't know that they'll get anything resolved by September, but the fact that they have some leverage with kids who want to play gives them the chance to move quickly.
John, have you seen the comments by former Sun Devil and current Cardinal running back Eno Benjamin?
I have not, no.
Okay, this might be good. He's on Twitter, and he's got a bunch of comments. This might be good for your next comment. He's got a lot of comments on this. Grown-ass men going out sad because they're upset. The saddest thing about betrayal is that it never comes from your enemies. The man gave you an opportunity, said nothing but great things about you at all times, and folks turn their back to run their mouths. Pathetic. What is loyalty? Built on ongoing 20-year relationships and went out so sad. There's a lot of comments where he's, clearly pointing to this situation with ASU. He's on Twitter. Might be something for you to read. But what I wanted you to, what I did want to ask you is, you point out that not only Herm Edwards, but also Ray Anderson, if these allegations are proven true, that it could be the downfall of that entire, not only coaching staff, but also the athletic department led by Ray Anderson.
We don't know what's going to happen, but I don't think anything's off the table. Given the fact that this is, a different level because it involves a public health issue, right? They're violating public orders. With Ray Anderson, the situation is going to be, if there's proven to be violations, did he know or should he have known, right? I mean, you've got to, the athletic director is ultimately responsible for what's going on in his department. So if there's a situation where there's rules being broken left and right and he didn't know, you know, then I'm sure that the ASU's, you know, the regents or President Crow will have to ask, you know, should he have known or not? And we should point out that, you know, we the NCAA violations, NCAA investigations over time, sometimes they start investigating X. And once they get into X, they find out about Y. And then they find out about Z. And then that's all of a sudden when you've got gigantic problems. So while we don't know if what's been reported is going to become an NCAA violation, we also don't know if there is other stuff that hasn't been publicly reported that might be in that dossier. So that's something to keep in mind, too.
Well, we'll continue to follow your column with the San Jose Mercury News. It's the best in the country. You're the best at what you do. We appreciate it. We always read your stuff. Thanks for spending some time with us, John.
Thanks for having me.